Hit record here so we get started. All right.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I am going to call this meeting to order at 6:35 p.m. on August 7th. Could we have roll call, please?
Yes. Jeff Camera.
Here.
Brendan Sullivan-Zaniana.
Present.
Christopher Griffiths.
Present.
Sarah Marie.
Present.
Okay. Are there any agenda changes?
I would just like to announce that all items 7B, 7C, 7D, and E have resolved. So the only case here tonight will be the first agenda item.
Okay. D and E. Okay. Okay, thank you. Staff announcements?
I just would like to announce to the audience that there is agenda for tonight available in the back of the room, and we also have the full packet with all materials submitted available for the public in the back of the room or online. Also wanted to make an announcement to the public that if there's any interest in public comment, you're welcome to do so at certain times during the meeting. To do so, though, you need to fill out a public comment card, which you can do so in the back of the room. With staff. And I also just want to let everyone know that at the next committee meeting, it will be on a Wednesday, September 6th, due to the holiday.
September 6th.
So point of clarification. Mm-hmm. So which agenda items under new business are we going to be addressing tonight?
Item 7A, which is a case, and then item 7F is still on the agenda, which is not, there are no action items under that.
Great, thank you.
Okay, we are up to public comment, non-agenda items. Are there any public, must be one public comment, right?
Yes.
Yes. Angie, would you like to take the podium?
Yes.
Thank you, Angie. Item number 5, consent calendar. And sub A, approval of minutes of the June 5th, 2017 regular meeting. Did everybody go over the minutes?
Yes.
Any changes suggested?
No.
I was not present.
Then could I have a motion to approve the minutes?
My name is Brendan Sullivan-Sarayana. I make a motion to approve the minutes for 6/5/2017.
My name is Chris Griffiths. I second that motion.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain?
I abstain, Sarah Murray, as I wasn't present at that meeting.
Thank you. All right. Is there any unfinished business?
No unfinished business.
Okay. So I think there is, I'd like to bring up at least one piece we may not be able to resolve tonight, but I think one of the things that staff was going to provide us was the documents that were handed out to the community when a thing was filed. So will we be getting those soon?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So we're on to new business, item number 7. So before we call that case, we have a short description of tonight's event. I think can everybody hear me okay?
I don't know if that mic is like
too good. Yeah, I think normally I would say yes. I think we're close enough where everybody can put your hand up if you can. I'll try and project. So good evening and welcome to the August 7th meeting of the City of Alameda Rent Review Advisory Committee. I'm Jeff Cambra, the chair of the committee. Across the way is Brendan Sullivan-Sagnano. He's the vice chair. Christopher Griffiths and Sarah Murray. We are all volunteers who live in Alameda and are committed to a safe place for people to express their concerns about proposed rent increases and assisting them in developing solutions that work for everyone involved. All participants are expected to treat each other with civility and respect at all times, both during and after the case. Since the committee members can only hear one person speaking at a time, participants are not allowed to interrupt when the other person is speaking. There's paper and a pen, so you'll be able to take notes, and you will have an opportunity to respond. There are exceptions to the no interruptions rule. That's me. And then Jennifer over there has the opportunity as well, and John Might, the city attorney representative, may also if we drift too far afield. Does anybody have a cell phone that is on and activated? Because I would ask at this time that you turn it off or just check to make sure it's on vibrate. The committee wants to thank each one of you for participating in tonight's meeting. The city's rent review process is unique in that it provides a space for both residents and housing providers to come together and hear each other's concerns with the goal of having the parties create their own agreement that takes into account the needs of the other person in addition to their own needs. The person that filed the application will have the opportunity to speak first. Each person will have up to 5 minutes to tell their story to the committee. We've already read all of the rental histories, so the technical parts that you failed, we all will be familiar with. Once you have finished, one of us will repeat back what you have said to make sure that we clearly understand what your point is and what you're trying to get across. Some of the committee members may ask clarifying questions if things are not clear, that we have a very clear understanding of what's going on. Each party will also have the opportunity to reply to the other person if there's something they would like to say. Once both sides have had the opportunity to present and reply, I'm going to ask each participant, what information did you hear tonight for the first time, and how does that new information change your view of the case? If the parties cannot agree, then we will ask you to go back to your seats, and the committee then will change its function from a mediation to making a recommendation. The parties will not have an opportunity to provide any additional information at that time. The committee will evaluate the information, and each committee member will make their recommendation on what they feel would be a fair rent increase, and then we will vote on that recommendation. Depending on the type of case, the recommendation will either be an enforceable decision subject to an appeal by a hearing officer, or a recommendation subject to review by the city council at one of its public meetings. So are there any questions on the procedure? Okay, thank you. And with that said, we can call the first case. Gee, in this case, it's the only case tonight. So 7A, case number 886, 431 Pacific Avenue, apartment 202. Jennifer, would you like to provide the background of the case?
Sure, I'll just go over the facts that were provided to our office. So again, this is unit 431 Pacific Avenue, apartment 202. This unit has a non-exempt status, which means that decision by a third party is binding. The current rent is $900 for a one-bedroom unit, and that rent includes water, parking, and garbage. The rent increase offers an increase of $450 to a total rent of $1,350, that's 50% increase. And the landlord offered to step the increase over 3 months, $150 each month. The tenancy began in 2015, and there hasn't been a rent increase since that start date. The landlord submitted the application requesting this rent increase and stated that the rent was initially set at a reduced rate, and also noted there hasn't been an increase since 2015. And the tenant did not provide comments. And I also just want to note that we just recently received a submission from the landlord with it's a one-page document regarding, it says, recent move-in, so that's attached for each committee member and available in the back for anyone in the audience that would like to do it.
Okay, so everybody had a chance to review it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, at this time I would like to ask the resident and the housing provider to step forward.
Then.
Okay, so Akeisha, are you here? All right, come on up. You can sit over here. Okay, right, let me get you on here as well. Okay, and then for the housing provider, Charles Klein and Hen Chin Wu.
Yes.
Hi, come on up here. Thank you both. Have a seat. Let me get this out of the way. Excellent. Okay, so first question, how would you like to be addressed? Names.
Keisha.
Pardon me?
Keisha.
Keisha. And sir?
Mr. Cornelius is fine.
Mr. Cornelius. Okay.
Harry.
Harry.
I go by Harry easier.
Thank you. And sir?
Charles Klein. Or Charles.
Charles. Gentlemen, you filed the application, so you will have an opportunity to speak. First, we have approximately 5 minutes. We've got little cards here that will give you an idea about how long it will take.
Okay.
And if everybody's ready. Okay. Oh, one of the things, would someone like to volunteer to reflect back what the parties are saying tonight? An official.
Sure, I'll be happy to reflect back.
If you okay, thank you. And
okay.
Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
I'm Harry. First time I met you. And I've known your mom for a long time, really. She has been managing her apartment for me. And Chuck has been managing on my behalf. So I would like to ask him to speak on my behalf.
Okay, well, as you know, the letter you got explained the reason for the increase. We've made it, Kim had worked there for quite a few years, so made an accommodation at a reduced rent. You move to another apartment so you could still stay there. And it's been, at that time, the 900 was below market then. It has been increased since. And so I feel this is a fair rent. And it's $350 to $400 under our current rent. And it was under market at the time. Current asking rent for new apartments. Willing to step in the increase over several months also. I'm not sure what else to say. It's pretty, you know, simple in terms of our method and reason.
Okay, you don't have to use the whole 5 minutes, so if
that's... I don't know if I can say a whole lot more this time.
Okay.
To say.
All right, so let me turn this off, and I'll ask Sarah to kind of recap the presentation so we're sure that we all understand.
So my understanding is Harry is the owner, and
yes,
this is the first time that he's met Keisha, but he's known Keisha's mom for a long time. My understanding is that she worked for you,
yes,
and Charles has been managing the property for some time, and so you asked Charles to speak on your behalf,
yes,
and Charles presented the information that when the apartment was initially rented, it was rented at a market that was at a rate that was under market, and it was understood by the tenants that it was under market, and that you feel there's been no rent increase in the period of tenancy, which started in 2015, that it was already under market at the time, that it's currently $350 to $400 under current asking starting rent, and that you feel that it's reasonable at this time to ask for the increase that you requested, which is a 50% increase.
Right.
Okay, excellent. Okay, Keisha, would you like to speak?
I just would like to have my dad speak for me.
That's fine. No problems. Mr. Cornelius, Mr. Cornelius, you ready to present?
Yes.
Okay. You heard what I talked about. There's approximately 5 minutes, okay?
Sure.
And, okay, you can begin.
Okay, first of all, my daughter would like to see certain documentation, if that's okay. She couldn't find her mother's copy. Her mother passed away a couple of years ago. So the rental agreement has not been visible for over 20 years, the first one. And then the second one, which this documentation speaks about, March 2015, we haven't had an opportunity to either see that one either. So if we can review both documents, that would be helpful to us. Appreciate that. And if we could take a pause so we can look at both documentation, since we haven't had the opportunity to do so, that'd be great. Appreciate it.
So do we have the documents available? Okay, so I'm going to stop the time.
Yeah, it was the fully signed copy. They signed it, and it was delivered on April 8th, 2015.
So that would be the most recent?
Yeah, the other one is immaterial because it covered a different apartment and ended.
I see.
It took over this apartment. I don't have it. I have the original, as you can see, but I'll need to get it back.
Okay, so it's not going to leave the table. We can... Oh, okay. So you can review it here, and I think it'd probably be appropriate to take a short break. Can you review that in, say, 5 minutes?
We'll have to.
Okay, so I'm going to suggest that we take a break and allow them to review the document and reconvene at 6:50, about 7.
Okay.
About 7.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to avoid that.
Is it? I haven't moved.
It will be a little bit higher. The temperature will be a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. And besides, I was up here 2 months ago. So, yeah, I met all the people I like to meet. And,
yeah, we were in Cambridge a few days ago. Things are moving along.
Yeah.
I did add a couple of
Right, I remember you said 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is 7 and 8.
Right. Right.
Permit 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's set back. This comes out here. So,
mm-hmm.
We're doing this wall, this wall, mm-hmm. this wall, and this wall. Yeah. But we added this back. We're going to do this. Maybe a portion of the void.
Yeah.
And then, this is the creeks here.
Oh, okay.
So we were going to do this part anyway, along with other parts.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to extend this down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But this is complete. This is complete. This is about complete.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all these moving on. In fact, we have to we've got to get ready from the work.
Okay.
And looks good. Yeah. And then we're going to start.
Later on, the barbecue.
And right here.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, the bridge is over
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bridge is pretty reinforced. It's okay. But we have to be over this.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I went over this when I was last up there with mm-hmm. The guys.
Yeah.
So we got to prune back, take out bushes.
Right. Yeah.
Three barbecues and a table or two. And gravel. Gravel. And then this term, maybe put a border, some kind of border fence here.
Mm-hmm.
And then the parking is right here. Parkour is right there.
Yeah.
Have to clean out.
Some guy put an abandoned car somewhere.
That happens.
Yeah.
There's a car here. That we're
right. Yeah,
that's
when
where
we're out there.
Yeah. That has happened. And then they've been told. We're going to see if I get the dumpster put right out here, actually.
Oh, I see.
And then they can load this and this debris. These are two main piles, and then there's back in here.
Mm-hmm.
There will be.
And now, after it's done, the tenant don't do barbecue in your patio.
After this area is done, I'm going to move on to showing
7 o'clock.
Put out a notice.
Mm. Okay. The other district really is we okay to get started.
Okay,
you've had enough time to basically review the document?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, thank you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, We are going to reconvene at 7:01. And if I figure how to work this. All right, you can continue your presentation.
Okay, so I was previously asking for the prior rental agreement. And Kim was working at your property for 20 plus years.
Yes.
Because I feel this agreement made after she couldn't work any longer was predicated on her user diligence services for you. Okay, so that would also give an opportunity for people to see what she done for you and what that agreement makeup look like. So also here in this, I don't know what you want to call it, but this letter from your property manager, it states that you only agreed to help her out when she could no longer work, referring to Kim. Right. So she passed August 1st, 2015. So that help that you were giving to Kim so generously for her years of service transferred over to Keisha, which she inherited that help, you know. So it doesn't state a time frame that the help would stop, or it doesn't state directly what's the extent of the help. So it's kind of vague. It just says help. So I'm referring to that because I guess we have to take it to mean that you agreed to give her lower rent because there's no other things to go by in here that stipulates what the help would mean. Otherwise, we'd leave it to our suggestion how far your help is, what it means, and so on and so forth. So I'm just taking it to mean that you agreed to this $900 a month for rent to help out her mom and also to help out Lakeisha. So given that being the fact, then why shouldn't she have the opportunity to pay 5% rent increase, such as anybody else who would be given a certain amount of rent to pay for years? Why should she be denied of that opportunity? Because you took it upon yourself to say, I want to help her out for the years of service that she's given me. So, therefore, there's no fault on Lakeisha's behalf here, because you agreed to this. This is agreement from you. You know, you weren't forced to do this. You weren't coerced into doing it. You did it of your own free will. Just like Kim gave years of service where she did more work than what she was paid for. So she did that out of love for the apartment building as well as the people and her dedication to you, sir. So Keisha should not be penalized with a 50% rent increase based on you chose to do this goodwill for her mom, which she's not here to speak for herself, because I'm sure she would have a lot to say to you, a whole lot. You know, Kim can talk. So probably take up the whole 45 minutes. Okay. To be honest,
but she only gets five.
Well, if we go back and forth, trust me. So basically, what I'm saying, I don't think Keisha is opposed to some sort of rent increase, but 50%, I think that would do damage to Kim's years of service to you. Also to everything she put into your property. I think it would be a disservice to her. And also it would be a disservice to the agreement you made and showing good faith on helping in the first place. You know, so I don't think that's fair. I think she should be entitled to a 5% rent increase just like anybody else, or y'all need a mutual point somewhere, but not 50% for sure.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, sir, if you could reflect back.
Sure.
Thank
so
you.
My understanding, Mr. Cornelius and Keisha, what you presented here is that, first of all, you requested to see the rental agreements, and you were offered the most recent rental agreement, and you expressed a desire still to see the prior rental agreement because you believe that the rental agreement signed in 2015 was predicated on that prior agreement. And you believe that the agreement of 2015 was predicated on the 20 years of service that Keisha's mom, Kim, provided for Harry and for on behalf of his buildings. Kim passed on August 1st of 2015, and your belief is that Keisha essentially inherited the lease from her mother, and that therefore any agreement that Harry made to help Keisha's mom, Kim, would have passed on to Keisha. It's not clear to you, reading either that letter or the agreement of 2015, what the frame of the help that Harry offered was exactly, or the specifics of it. And your feeling is that, given Kim's many years of service, why shouldn't Keisha have the benefit of this rent of $900? There's no fault of Keisha's here. Harry agreed to this voluntarily, and Keisha should not be penalized because Harry chose to enter into an agreement to rent the apartment for $900 to Kim. Keisha's not opposed to some kind of rent increase, but 50% seems excessive, and you believe it would dishonor Kim's memory and the work that she provided to Harry over the years to impose a 50% rent increase at this time. Did I capture that?
Yes, you did. Very well.
Great.
It's Lakeisha, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Lakeisha. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure.
Did I miss it?
I thought you said you wanted to be called Keisha.
Just Keisha.
Oh, right. It is Keisha? Oh, I beg your pardon. Okay.
It's formerly Lakeisha, but when Jeff asked how she preferred to be addressed, she said
the artist
Keisha.
Now Keisha. Known as Keisha. Got it.
Okay. Thank you both for presenting. At this time, I'm going to ask the committee if anybody has questions that they would like to ask either of the parties.
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
Harry and Charles, at the time when the agreement was made with Kim regarding the rent at the 2015 lease, was there a conversation about what the understanding was in terms of what would happen with a rent increase in the future, given that the rent at that time was under market?
Well, she was saying she was going to have to move out if she had to pay, you know, regular market rent, and I talked to Harry, and we talked to her and said we'd give you a deal on another apartment with a new lease. The prior lease had nothing to do with this lease. It's a whole new lease, a whole new deal, because she was in the verge of, you know, looking for other housing. It was accommodation for Kim. Okay, Keisha was there, yeah, but it was mainly an accommodation for Kim. There was a comment about Kim did more work than paid for. I don't know what that's about at all, because she got cash and she got a free apartment the whole time I managed it. So I'm not sure where that's coming from.
So if I can follow up on that, so when you signed this lease agreement with, and Kim was the signatory on that, not Keisha, correct?
No, because Keisha, I believe, signed it too. Look at it.
Okay, so
it's in both their names because she was of age at that time before.
Okay.
She was not. She was a minor.
So
she signed it.
Okay.
Too.
So both Kim and Keisha signed the 2015
yeah,
lease?
Yes, it's in both their names.
And was there conversation at that time with Keisha about the fact that this rent was an accommodation to Kim and that it might be raised at some point in the future to bring it closer to the
No, market. My conversations were just with Kim.
And what was the understanding that you reached with Kim?
We were going to give her a break on rent on a new lease,
and
under a new lease.
And was that lease originally a year lease that then went to month to month? So that lease was signed in 2015.
Yeah, we can pass the lease back. I was going to say, make sure we get the lease back. That's an original.
Yeah. So this, yeah. Yeah, this is a month-to-month lease. And we did waive the security deposit, too. Well, that was in that letter you saw.
Okay, and at that time, was there any conversation about the fact that the apartment might pass to Keisha if Kim were to pass on?
No.
And given that they were both signatories on the lease, was there any discussion with Keisha about the rent and what might happen in the future?
No. I'd say it was all discussed with Kim.
May I ask you, Keisha, did you have any conversations with your mom about the apartment and about the rent and the situation that you were in terms of having an apartment in the complex?
As far as, like, you know, after she would pass or mm-hmm. during that time, no, we didn't have a conversation about what would happen after that. So it was just before, you know, what she was, she told me to sign a lease for when she was here, and then that was it.
Yeah, and I'm very sorry, by the way, about her passing. Mr. Cornelius, please.
Yes. I had a conversation with her because I took care of her for the last 3 weeks of her life, you know, before she passed. She told me that Kim told me that Keisha was being cared for in the lease agreement by Mr. Charles and Mr. Wu, I think. Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, well, it's fine.
Yeah, so she left here thinking that this agreement applied to Keisha as well, not just herself, but to both parties. That's why she had Keisha sign it. You know, that was the purpose of the signature. You know, otherwise there would be no need for her to sign it. You know, that was the whole purpose of the signature. So, and they had agreed to it also as well.
Right. So, may I ask, Lakeisha, are you working currently?
Yes.
And what is your occupation?
I'm a sales associate at Ross.
And in terms of the rent, so I assume that now that your mom has passed, are you the sole person living in the apartment?
Yes.
And you're responsible for the rent fully yourself?
Yes.
And about what percentage of your income does that monthly rent represent?
Probably, I would say half.
About 50%, is that?
Mm-hmm.
And if you had to pay the amount of the rent increase that is requested here, which would be 450 added to the 900, so a total of 1350 a month, how would that impact you in your life?
A lot. It's taking like almost half, most of my check. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, your dad, Mr. Cornelius, indicated earlier that you felt it was reasonable to have some kind of rent increase. Have you and your father talked about what might be a reasonable rent increase given your income and given the, you know, the market rates and the situation of, with the apartment?
We talked about it a little bit, just maybe about like the 5% like increase, but not like over, or maybe at least like just under the 50, was just a lot.
Talked about 10% as the maximum.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about that. I just want to make sure that I understand. You talked about a range between 5 and 10%, is that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
Yeah. Okay.
May I ask a question?
Sorry.
Could you finish up?
Please, go right ahead.
Okay, yeah. Sure, go right ahead. Yeah.
Please, it's a group event.
Yes.
Yeah. Harry and Charles, when you, Keisha's been on the sole a person living in the apartment since 2015, is that correct?
I don't know.
Is that correct?
Is somebody else living there besides you?
It's me right now.
Just you?
Oh, rather, she's the only one who's signed the lease, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
her name is on the lease.
Yes.
Okay. Were there any, I know that Sarah had already asked if there was a discussion previously, mm-hmm. but since her mother passed, has there been any discussion with her about possible rent increases since 2015 when her mom passed?
No.
Okay. I just wanted to make a clarification for myself. Thank you.
Okay.
Chris, did you have a question?
Other question?
Yeah. Were you going to say anything?
No, I was asking if there are other questions.
Gotcha. So, I mean, looking at this, I think 900 is well under market, and I think it's, you know, especially for Alameda, but at the same time, requesting a 50% rent increase is very difficult for most people to absorb, and I think that's something we can all understand is, you know, having any expense just suddenly increase by 50%, even if it is stepped over 3 months, is still quite a shock. We are not opposed There's many cases we've heard where we've stepped increases over a certain period of time, but the total going from, you know, 900 to 1350, even over the course of a year, is pretty substantial. Is there any movement down from that?
Before we go there, only because I had a few, you know, we were going to be asking in the negotiation piece, I was going to ask some questions. So do you have questions to clarify? Otherwise, if you can hold that thought and we can come back to it. First of all, I do want to recognize, Harry, your generosity back in 2015, and I don't know what the circumstances were, but I know what the market was like in 2015. I think we all know what it was, so I think that really needs to be acknowledged. So I want to take you and start with that first. And as Chris was saying, you know, they're tough questions that we have to deal with. On this, I'd like to know a little bit about in 2016, though, after the 2015 lease expired, and
it was month to month.
It was month to month. And is it okay if I refer to your wife as Kim? She's not here.
Referred to as Kim.
Yeah, okay, well, that's fine. So at that point, Kim wasn't providing any services. It was an annual renewal time for the lease, and I noticed that there wasn't a rent increase, but was there any thought to have that discussion about, because Kim wasn't there, I assume she wasn't performing services anymore.
No, she wasn't. And, she moved and we signed a new lease. No.
So there was a new lease signed in 2016, or was it just the 2015 rolling over?
2015.
Okay, yeah, and rolled over at the same monthly rent.
Yeah, that's the month to month, yeah.
Okay, so you'd referred earlier to Kim had provided services kind of in addition to paying the $900 a month in rent. What were those
services? No, she didn't know. At that point, with the new lease, at $900, she was no longer working at all.
Okay, so there were no services provided
No.
I see. Okay. And so in 2016, when this lease rolled over, there were still no services provided, but the lease terms, specifically the amount, was maintained at the $900 rate.
It continued on month to month.
Okay.
My understanding, Jeff, is that Kim provided services and was paid with a free apartment and with cash.
And cash.
Up until she ceased being able to work.
Right.
And that was that sometime in 2015?
Early, yeah.
And that after she was no longer able to provide services that allowed her to have the free apartment, that a lease was reached where she was given a reduced rent because she could no longer provide services, and that was the lease that was signed in April of 2015. Is my understanding correct?
Yeah, and she had said she was going to have to move someplace and change her housing unless because of what were the rent rates at the time, which were up in the $1,300 range back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so my understanding is in April what was signed was a month-to-month lease, and so there was no annual rollover, although it might, in the course of practice of some landlords, be that at the same time in the following year a review was made. There was no annual lease that was expiring. There was simply a month-to-month lease that was rolling over each month.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, if I understand that I'm going to ask this as a statement only because I don't know how to phrase it. The intent at the time that you gave her the lease for $900, there wasn't a thought about what the term would be. How long it was? It was as long as she could live there. Then basically, so it wasn't a term. How you can have this only for a year? Because
no, we had no conversation about a specific ending time.
Okay. And the reason, I just want to be clear, given the $900 rent, your reason for doing that was?
Accommodation for Kim for having worked there.
Okay. Was there any thought
when she worked there, she was, she had the apartment and was paid salary for the time that she spent working.
All right.
And most of the work was out of her apartment. She was in her apartment, and
And actually, we started before the lease, when she was still working, I took over and had the leasing done by somebody else.
Okay.
That's just a separate business decision that was made.
Okay.
She wasn't doing that.
So the intent was to confer a benefit on Kim for Kim. Her services.
Yeah, it was for Kim. There's no discussion about it continuing on indefinitely or after she passed away. We didn't talk about her passing away. It was always she was talk about what was going on with her and how she was doing, and things were looking actually, she's saying, looking good, and, you know, hopefully like she was going to come around.
Okay.
And so, no, there's no discussion about it after she would, if she would pass away or what would happen after, there's no discussion about that.
I see, okay.
And the purpose of signing, for Keisha to sign, was she was not a minor anymore. So she had to sign the lease. Mm-hmm. To be an occupant.
I see, okay.
18 or over, you have to sign and be on the rental agreement.
Right, okay. And then, Keisha, just one quick question for you. What was your understanding of the living arrangements while your mom was still alive and then after she was gone? What did you think was going to – what did you think at that point?
I just thought that basically I was still going to be paying the same amount that she was paying because there was no – like agreement or conversation after that. So, and 2 years later. So.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Does anybody else want to say?
Could I just recognize that? I think this is difficult to talk about, and I appreciate you coming out in public and talking about it. It sounds like you had a relationship with somebody who worked for you for 20 years. It was your mother and your partner, so that's important. So thank you for talking about this. I know it's difficult. And I also want to recognize that this, maybe not talking about it, it's weird to talk about a contract with somebody when they're maybe not in the best of health. So we're just asking the questions so that we have all the information. We're not making any kind of judgments. And there are lots of things that folks talk about and focus on and don't talk about and don't focus on, and that's okay. I just want to make sure when we're asking these questions, we're just trying to get information. That's all we're doing. We're definitely not making any kind of judgment.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I can just add, I think that's a great observation, Brandon, and I think in addition, because in times of illness and emotional stress, it's very hard to even think, let alone talk about things like rental contracts. Mm-hmm. That's partly why we have this kind of process here, before we go into a decision-making mode, to try to create a space where the parties can come together and maybe connect with each other in a different way and hear, you know, each other's experience in a way that you may not have had the opportunity to share before, and be in a situation where you can experience each other as being of goodwill and try to share your own experience to try to come to some resolution that works for everybody.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Which is actually a great segue into the question I said I was going to ask earlier, is that, Harry, is there new information that you learned tonight that you did not know before in speaking to Keisha and her father? And does that in any way change your view of how you'd like to move forward?
Not at this point.
Okay. All right.
I think we've covered,
I asked, is there any new information that's been presented outside of the lease terms?
Well, to comment on what, to answer you, I don't think there is, in that there's nothing that wasn't out there applicable and that was dealt with at the time directly with Kim on the rental agreement with her. So this other information now is, I don't know how it necessarily applies to that.
Right, and that's the point of the question.
If
it doesn't apply to you, then it doesn't. Right. We just are asking the question, though.
Yeah.
Okay, and is there anything that both of you can speak, is that anything that you've heard tonight that changes your view of the situation at all?
Well,
wouldn't say it would, I guess, change my view, but I did. They said something about how when she previously was working for them and how she had free rent and got paid for that. I wasn't aware of that because what I was told was it was getting taken out of her check, so for the department, and then it was like whatever was left over is what she got. So that was some new information for me tonight.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Thank you for that.
I wanted to say that I think on behalf of my daughter signing the agreement, you know, that she was expecting the normal rent increases to be according to what the law requires, 5%. She didn't know she was going to be denied that opportunity to pay the 5% rent increases whenever you did decide to increase. But to go 50%, she was not as blindsided her with the 50%. And also, I think that's a form of making up for what you did not charge when you decided to give her, because $450 over $900, if you do $450 times 24, 2 years, you're making up all of what you've given to someone. So I'm like, how is that a gift? I mean, it's not really, $900 is not really.
That's not our intention, you know. We don't try to make it up.
And it doesn't add up that way either.
Kind of sort of that.
No, not at all, because at the time, that apartment would have rented probably $1,300, $1,400 range. When did rent control come into effect?
April 1st, 2016.
So there's no anticipation.
Pardon me?
I would just clarify that we've had a series of ordinances that began on October 1st, 2015, and then November 5th, 2015.
So
thank you.
So the actual ordinance in effect now came later.
Yeah. Well, were you asking where there was, because I may have misunderstood the question, where the city had the ability to stop rent increases? Was that the intent of the question, or just when?
When did rent control happen that enabled the city?
What she said, I think I used April 1st. It was only when the Rent Review Advisory Committee had authority to make a binding recommendation of a rent lower than.
So sometime between October of 15 and April of 16, between informal, formalized.
Uh-huh.
Well, why don't we let Charles finish what he's attempting to express?
Well, the idea is they talk about the anticipation of these controlled increases, but at the time this is done, there was no plan. There was nothing for rent increases at 5% back in the first part of 15. So I don't understand that.
So if I understand what you're saying, Charles.
Okay, and also the fact about making up. There's no way that we're making up.
Yeah.
Because at the time, rents, like I said, were $1,300, that we rented it for $900. And now they're even higher, $1,700. We're not asking for that.
That's the current.
$1,750, $1,800. I gave you that sheet. It was some recent rentals.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call it $1,700 in round numbers. If we're trying to make up, yeah, I'd be asking for $1,700 or $1,800. And then maybe I wouldn't get market, but I'd make up for that couple of years of low rent, but probably not even, I'd still be short. And we're not trying to do that. That's not the intention.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I wasn't really finished, but he wanted to speak on it, but that's okay. All I was basically trying to say is that's what we feel. It doesn't mean that we're accurate on it. It's just our feelings, and we can't be wrong about our feelings. But also, we also wanted to know, why did you ask for 50%? And I mean, I understand it's about the market and all that stuff, but this paper said you were helping. So if you're helping Kim and you're helping her daughter, Keisha, why jump to 50%?
We were helping Kim, the agreement, and all my conversations were with Kim, and it was for Kim. Lakeisha was there, and there was no discussion, or really intent on our part of it continuing on, although we let it go for a while after Kim passed away, at the lower rent.
Okay.
But at some point, it had to be changed.
I understand.
Because it was so far below market for so long. It's almost half of market rent, and we're still at a third, 25% below market with this at $1,350. So
Sure, 50% looks like a lot, but if you look at the past and look at where market is and where the leases we would have done, or the rent we would have charged for a lease at the time in 2015 at $1,300, you know, Harry is, you know, given a good bit of consideration, I think.
Okay, so, and Chuck also wanted to know, do you think it's fair to not give her advance notice of some changes that's going to come?
I mean, this is advance notice.
I'm saying that's a big jump, though. I mean, it's a big jump.
This is advance notice. It's a 60-day notice, yeah. Plus being staged in over other, you know, beyond the 60 days.
You know what I'm saying? No 5% increases or 10 or 15. It's a big jump to 50%, mm-hmm. like this gentleman was saying earlier. So all I'm saying is, since she did go through the situation with her mom and y'all are whatever, and you were trying to help, and you're giving her like 10% first, walk her along a little bit, maybe 20%, 30%. I mean, just jumped to 50% for a young lady who just buried her mom recently and you were agreeing to some stuff. You know the situation. That's a bit much for her.
Could you structure that? I mean, you just had some ideas. You were proposing a step. Is there some thought about how you would want it to go up to
50%? Why do it all in one jump? I mean, why not structure it like a stair step type of a thing? Give her an opportunity to brace herself financially to be able to meet that. You know, I just jump just like that.
So the increase has to be once a year, right?
So Keisha, what, without figuring what the top end might be, but what? What your dad is saying is you're looking at stepped increases. You know where they would like to be. What could you do that would work for you as a possibility for approaching what they would like to do? Approaching.
Right.
And can I ask a question in there?
No, go ahead.
I don't know what the size of the unit is like or, you know, what the structure is. I know that you and your mom shared it. Is it possible to get a roommate in there to share to help pay the cost?
No.
Yeah, one bedroom, right, okay. So would you like to just kind of take a second and think about what that stair-stepping might be and what the amounts might be that would work for you?
Yeah, that would be great. Really appreciate it, especially if they're open to, offers or different
suggestions. I think that's the reason why we're here.
Okay. Yeah, nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And if I could just speak through the chair as a reminder for time.
Yes.
Have
we hit our 40-minute mark? Because I forgot to hit the button. So I'd like a motion to extend for 15 minutes.
I second.
I can't make the motion. I'm the chair.
I make a motion to extend for 15 minutes.
I second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I have a point of clarification.
Opposed? Oh.
I beg your pardon.
Do you want to amend the motion?
I wanted to say that the chair can make an motion.
I think there's Rob. Well, okay, whatever, we won't bother that now. Anyway, yeah. Opposed? Abstained? The motion carries. We have another 15 minutes. So if you'd like to take a minute and talk to each other, go ahead. If you want to go off, you don't need to sit here, but you're welcome to.
Can someone please clarify for us, is there a request for back pay here? Because we haven't addressed that at all. Is there a request for back payment or just the rent increase? Just the rent increase?
Just the increase.
Okay. Thank you. We'll take a moment.
Okay. So I think we can take a 5-minute break. I don't want to burn up the 15 minutes that we have, but we've allocated for the extra time.
Okay.
Point of clarification, Chair. I do believe we have another case tonight, which is agenda number 70.
B, C, D, and E all got canceled.
When I asked earlier what cases we had to listen to, Jennifer said A and E, so we should have clarified that again.
She, at the beginning of the evening,
I understand, and then I asked her to clarify, and she said A and E.
No, is this what we said?
E or F?
Oh. E, F is not a case.
Yeah, I know it is. Just a point of agenda, though. There isn't. Is there? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure
there's a case out there, though. I could be wrong. You guys can talk.
Okay, sorry, there was confusion among us.
Well, absolutely, no, I understand. I just wanted to make sure that I had asked for clarification earlier.
Right, make sure that was just the last thing.
Because we get a transfer.
7F is the last agenda item. Got it.
And we go with the.
Yeah, because I was personally expecting a long night tonight. I saw that. I thought, oh, this is going to take a long time. Yeah. And then it comes down to one case, so. Run for water. Okay, I think we're ready to reconvene.
My family's, you probably wouldn't know, I'm lucky, but I'm mostly Yaqui Indian. And my family is originally from there.
It seems like a beautiful place. I'd love to go back.
Santa Fe is where I'm at.
Yeah, I know. I didn't have time to go to Santa Fe, but I'm going to definitely go back.
Okay. Okay, Charles, I think we're ready.
I'll probably get to go back because I'm working on it.
Okay, we are reconvening, and I'm starting the 15-minute timer. So, Mr. Cornelius, yes. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I want to say thank you to Mr. Wu, Harry.
Yeah.
Thank you for everything, and Chuck also as well. Thank you for everything you know, for Cam, and we really do appreciate that. You know, my daughter appreciates it very, very, very much. Okay, so we wanted to get that on the record first, that we do appreciate that. Also, we had a conversation about her income, and even though she can't afford the $1,350, you know, we were trying to work some angles to be able to pay $1,150 if that would be agreeable to you. That would be more than half of what you're asking for, you know, because you're asking for a $450 increase, so that's a $250 increase. So I kind of think that's a little fair.
And when would that start?
Okay. She said she need 30 days.
What?
30. So that would start next month.
September 1st?
Yes.
And what about increases?
Well, we'd like to be
after
on
that.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'd like to be on what regular increases, what everybody else is on, I guess, 5% yearly or whatever the going rate is.
Or that is down the road. We do offer there is a requirement of a one-year lease offer. So that would be up to you to decide whether you wanted a one-year lease on this or a month-to-month. But the ordinance restricts rent increases to once a year.
I know, whether it's a lease or month-to-month.
Whether it is lease or a month-to-month.
Well,
correct.
If you sign a lease and it's structured in the lease, then it's exempt.
Right. And so that would mean you'd be able to come back in another year if you couldn't agree.
But it'd still be at the 5%.
The 5% is not...
Unless we come back and do this again.
The 5% is only a point where... It isn't a cap. It's just a point where you come back and explain your situation to... If you can't come to an agreement.
Right.
Right.
And just to clarify,
yes.
If the tenant doesn't accept the 5% income here. There's certainly lots of folks on the island who do accept 5 and above and don't come here. Some of the cases that closed today were an example of that. They didn't come here. They came to an agreement that were above 5%.
I think the point to be clear about in terms of how the ordinance functions for everybody who's here is that what the ordinance says is that for an increase up to 5%, it's not required for a landlord to go through this process. For an increase above 5%, it's required, assuming that the tenant doesn't accept it and wants to engage in this process, it's required for a landlord to submit some kind of paperwork and to go through that process so that there can be this kind of discussion. But it doesn't say that an increase is limited to 5%.
Okay.
And frankly, part of what we're dealing with right now in this moment in Alameda's history is that because of the changes in the market that have taken place, over a 4 or 5 year period, and because of the fact that rent control has only recently been imposed, there are a lot of landlords who are seeking to make adjustments to rents that have been considerably under market or held lower, and part of the pressure to do that is because the law in place now limits how increases can happen. So that's why we're kind of in the moment that we're in. And the purpose of this process is partly to give a space for people to be able to have a conversation about it that is civil and that allows information to be shared and perspectives to be shared so that hopefully we can come to an agreement like we're attempting to do here because we believe that that's in the best interest of the community for everybody.
Yes. Well said.
Thank you.
Yes. So, Harry, would...
I have a question. It's a little, not exactly off the subject, but a number of months ago I had a call from somebody asking for a rent reference for you for another apartment. And then Jackie said something about another apartment that you were going to use on weekends, something like that, or your dad was going to rent for you. Is that happening?
No, it hasn't.
You don't rent? You don't have another apartment that you use part-time?
No.
Okay, I just wanted to put it up because I had, I can't remember the name of the outfit, but they called me.
I had a place in Vallejo.
What?
I had a place in Vallejo.
Yeah.
That I took up a unit there.
So you rented?
You know, yes.
Oh,
I took up a unit there.
So why did they call me for a reference for
Keisha? I don't want to interrupt, but we're on a short time limit here, so I'd like to keep us to relevant information, though.
Well, okay, we need to talk for a second. About what they brought up here.
Sure, go right ahead.
Okay.
Fine, you're welcome to go outside or go in the back.
Okay.
I don't want to clear. I'm going to stop. This is my first time out with this. Yeah.
Is it a chest clock?
It says dual timer. Is it?
We should get you a chest clock. It's very simple because you just hit it on and you hit it off.
It is a clock.
That's what judges like.
Yeah.
Each person gets so much time.
Yeah.
A lot of them their hour.
Yeah.
And the speed's wafted over. not as good as he thought.
No, I lost some money, too.
Oh!
So, you know, if you're putting money down, if they're willing to put money down, you know they're good.
Smart enough to lose.
That's high risk, pal.
Smart enough to lose the first couple of money.
Oh, they're
smart enough
to
recognize what I'm getting.
Yeah, that's standard operating procedure, my friend.
Yeah.
You better at least make sure the amounts are small, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't big. It was all good natured.
Not like getting sandbagged, though, right? No, not good.
It wasn't too much.
Were you a chess player growing up?
No. I don't have the patience for chess.
No. No. Patience and strategy and, the whole thing. Yeah. My dad taught me how to play chess, but it was, I don't think I ever fully got the concept down. You're like, oh, well, this castle gets to go in this direction. This thing gets to go in this direction. So I knew how the pieces moved, but
the bigger patterns.
But there's more to it than just moving pieces, right?
Every year we would drive back to Mexico to see family, and we would play chess all the way from, well, not just chess, but chess was part of it, the little traveling piece.
Oh, with the magnetic piece.
Yeah, say New York all the way to
Mexico.
Yeah,
it's a long, lot of
yeah.
Way.
Wow. That's a long haul. Wow.
It was they were the worst drive ever. They're not fun.
No. But how long does it take?
It depends on how fast you drive. It takes about 5 days.
If you're losing a chess, it takes a lot longer.
Yes. That's true. Well, we try to take a different route every year just to see different parts of the country.
Oh, yeah.
Cornfields, though. Don't you get to? Well, I guess not. You can go down the Eastern Seaboard, right?
You can take 17. Well, 81. It's called 81 now. And that's the one that goes from upstate and goes through Scranton through Philly. Well, low down the Eastern Seaboard. I think kind of going to take us out something. I don't know. Another time we took 5. We went through 17, and then you go to Cleveland, and Cleveland, you take 5 all the way to the plains, then you cut down.
Oh, okay.
Another time we went through the Appalachians, that was not a good experience. We had a very unfortunate experience.
Yeah.
In Arkansas.
I very much dislike driving. I hate driving across town. I hate driving to SoCal.
Okay, I think we are ready to reconvene. Ready? We're ready to reconvene. All right, we are back on the timer again.
So, 12:50, September 1st. All things, I don't have to go into everything I've said about the whole justification for this in the history, but we'd be agreeable to 12:50. And then it's subject to the ordinance again in the future.
My daughter is also requesting a lease and not a month-to-month.
That's fine. The lease is a moot point in a way because we can't raise rents for a year anyway. And if you want that, that's fine. You got to understand.
Security.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you have security because
she feels.
That's fine. No, I just want to explain. I explain this to other tenants with increases about the lease. Mm-hmm. If you sign a lease, you're responsible for 12 months of rent. As you move out soon, you're still responsible unless we lease it. And we have a responsibility to try and lease it, but you're responsible for the 12 months. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you got to look that they have the ordinance. You have the use of the ordinance, which doesn't allow for an increase except for once a year. But if you want a lease, it's fine.
Yeah, there is security with the lease. I understand what you're saying. Is that they believe that there's security with
the they believe it, but I'm just saying with the rent structure of the ordinance, it's 6 1/2 dozen. Another whether it's a month to month release.
But it's important to them.
I understand.
Right.
Their perception. Their perception is what we're dealing with, and that's fine.
This is our feelings.
Okay.
Okay. So there is an offer of 12:50 on this side.
Well, trust me, we went round and round on what she can do, and for her to have comfortability financially, make other obligations, 11:50 is the best we can
do. Was the most that you were able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've kind of heard the position, I guess, of both sides right now. So I'd like to ask a question.
I guess, we're not going to counter our own offer.
No,
now.
I, no.
So I guess it's up to you guys to think about everything.
Well,
you know,
so
where
before,
at where
before
at.
We do that, I want to ask one question to each of you before we do that. And I'd like to know, because we now have these two offers, I want to know what the impact is on each of the parties if they accept the other person's offer. All right. What is the impact on your side if you accept their offer, and the impact on your side if you accept their offer? Am I clear? So I'd like you to go first.
Well, if we take $11.50 instead of $12.50, it's less rent, less income, right?
Right. But then you're over.
And we're already, well, the overall, no. I don't think that applies here because of all the history and everything we've discussed, that we're being more than reasonable. We have been, and that our number is reasonable, okay?
I don't think there's any question that it's reasonable. I'm just asking what the impact is.
It's $100 more.
On the business.
It's $100 more income.
Right, on your overall business.
It's $100 more income.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and the impact on you for that extra $100 that they have offered at $12.50?
Well, it basically would take away from other bills that I have to pay because I do not get paid as much as I would like at my job currently. Mm-hmm. So until I get like maybe a raise or something there, I'm only able to pay a certain amount because I only get a certain amount a month.
How much you make an hour?
I only make 12 hours.
What kinds of other bills do you have to pay? And we don't need to know the amounts, but just in terms of, you know, what other things are you paying for on a monthly basis right now?
My phone bill, cable, I have car insurance.
Utilities?
Yeah.
Utilities. Okay, so that was all the information that I needed to know. If there isn't any movement, Harry, you've been very quiet tonight.
She's running a business on my behalf.
I see.
So I,
okay.
You know, respect his decision.
Okay, all right, that's fine. All right.
Could I, before we do this, could I please ask the chair to go through the process for both parties so they understand what's going to happen?
Okay, I did before, but I can tell you again.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, you did.
No, right. So everybody understands that if we don't come to an agreement, then everybody will go back to their seat, and then the four of us will have a discussion based on the information that we know. Everybody will have their discussion about what their offer would be or what they believe is a fair recommendation. That recommendation would be binding on all of the parties. And we talked about the appeal if you wanted to go have a hearing officer and spend a ton of money is what it would amount to.
I just want to say one more thing. Jessica, if we put in the cards on the table, I just offer to pay her car notes so she can meet the $11.50.
Yeah. So that's why she can meet the $11.50?
Yeah. Because I have to take an expense off of her in order for her to pay that. Because her budget doesn't allow it. She's
okay.
Making real $12 an hour, $12.50, very minimum dollars. You know,
and
putting in a lot of work just to get that money. You know, so it's a financial strain and hardship.
Okay, so we understand.
Thank you for that information.
Yeah, so I'm not sure we can go any further. One of the things we do suggest, because there's only $100 difference, is any opportunities to come up 100, or come up 50, and come down 50 and resolve this so that we don't have to make that decision.
I can't pay any more money out of my pocket, unfortunately.
Okay. All right, then I think we're done. Thank you all. Really appreciate the attempt that you made.
Thank you so much.
All in good faith. Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
We gave him back his.
You got the
list. You got the
list.
Thank you. We're going to make it tonight, though. Yeah, it was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you. Mr. Cornelius?
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Okay. We are now officially in the recommendation phase. This recommendation is enforceable, and so I will start around the room to hear, or around the table, to hear what people are thinking. Would you like to start, Brendan?
Sure. Well, I appreciated the clarification that Mr. Cornelius gave at the end, because I was going to ask that question before they left.
And if I could just if everyone could speak loudly.
Yes, sorry. I was going to ask Keisha how she planned to pay for the increase, considering that she earlier stated that she only made from 12 to 12:50 an hour, but that's been answered.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a difficult situation because nobody spoke about what would happen once the mother passed, and it sounded like it came as somewhat of a surprise that she did, and I don't fault anyone for not speaking about that. I've already verbalized that. I think that's a normal thing to do. At the same time, it's not Keisha's fault that there were no rent increases. I said, I don't think it's Keisha's fault that there were no rent increases. You know, tenants are not normally in the habit of going to their landlords and asking why they aren't getting a rent increase this month, or this year, rather. That's just, you know, not something that folks do. I don't. Well, I've always had one. But if I didn't get one, I wouldn't go to my landlord and say, why didn't I get one? And I think that kind of speaks to the power dynamic. You don't want to upset the apple cart, especially if you're on a fixed income, and you know that you're trying to stay in your home. I think that the offer that Lakeisha made with the help of her father is reasonable. I do think it is going to have a financial burden on the family as a whole, both her and her father, but they recognize what was done for their mother and that they want to stay in the home and that they understand that moving out of the apartment might be an even more, a harder financial burden. What percentage rent increase? Is that a 25% rent increase to go up to
1150?
It's 27.7.
It's over 27% rent increase. And I think that is more than fair of an offer, and I would not be inclined to offer or to vote for anything above that. Especially since Lakeisha seemed to acknowledge that future rent increases are going to be a part of her life, as they are for other tenants, if that's what the market is asking for. You know, maybe there won't be any because something happens. Maybe, you know, I don't know. But it sounded like she recognized that was a possibility, and that the landlord is going to have the ability to, over time, to get closer to that return that he was seeking. So, those are my thoughts.
Okay. So it was the $250 that takes it up to $1,150.
Correct.
Okay, Sarah?
I think this is a very difficult situation. I believe that Harry, the landlord, has been very generous in his treatment of Kim, and I get the feeling that he and Charles feel somewhat frustrated at having to continue to be held to this agreement that they feel they made with Kim and not with Keisha. And I think Harry feels, understandably, that having been so generous, now it's time to be able to take the the rent to market value. I also think that a 50% increase is very large for anybody, and it's quite a shock, and especially to a young woman who's working a minimum wage job and trying to establish herself. And I think that the situation we're in, as I see it, is that if the rent were to be raised above the $1,150, it would be a serious hardship on Keisha, and she might be unable to continue to live in the apartment. And I think that the intention of this process and of the ordinance is to try to come to agreements about rent increases and decisions about rent increases that allow us to maintain some stability in our community and to support a variety of people, assuming that it's not a hardship to the landlord. And as a landlord myself, I totally understand the desire to get as much return from your property as you think you reasonably can. And there's good years and there's bad years, and there are a lot of expenses associated with running a property that most tenants never think about and don't really understand. But at the same time, the $100 a month in the scheme of things seems like it's going to be much more of a burden on Keisha than it is on the landlord. I feel that the offer of $1,150 is reasonable. I think that Keisha and her father are stretching themselves to make this possible and are acknowledging through their efforts Harry's generosity. And I feel like at this point the $1,150 offer is a fair rent increase that helps to take the unit more toward market. And I think that Keisha and her dad should be prepared for the fact that in a year from now, if Harry comes back to the rent board, the Rent Review Advisory Commission, and asks for another rent increase, that we're going to take into account this whole history. I believe that $1,150 is the top rent that I would agree to.
Okay.
Would you like to go, Jess?
No, I'm kind of going around the room, so I'd like to hear everyone else's, if it's okay.
Yeah. So while the tenant did agree to an $1,150 number, I feel that was a very far stretch. And while I do acknowledge that $900 or even $1,150 are probably well below market for a one bedroom in Alameda, I don't think the landlord spoke and made a clear enough case to why it would be a burden on them to not necessarily go up to the requested amount, besides not achieving market rates or having $1,350 still isn't market, but being closer to market. I would be more comfortable with just jotting some numbers down. At $1,150, it doesn't leave a lot every month, even excluding taxes, to live on. So I'm not necessarily comfortable with an $1,150. I would 20% would seem high to me still, even though it's not necessarily a huge increased dollar amount. That's still $180 versus what would it be?
$250.
Thank you. So there's about a $70 difference there. I think $1,150 is too much of an impact on the tenant in this case. So I'm actually recommending a 20%.
Point of information.
Which is $80, right?
$180.
$180.
Point of information?
Yeah.
You said doesn't leave a lot left over. What's the number that you're basing that statement on?
Prior to taxes, that leaves $11,150 for the year, which is $929.
I'm sorry. What are you basing the income
11.
Figures on?
$12 an hour for 2080 hours a year, not including overtime.
So you're assuming that she works 40 hours a week and that she's not getting any overtime. So you just made a calculation on your own, without any information from the tenant.
Correct.
Okay.
Could I respond to your concerns?
Yeah.
This of course has gone through my head as well. Anytime a tenant seems to be stretching themselves financially, it always goes through my mind. Especially when we talk about our homes, can just speak from my experience as a tenant. You think, oh gosh, well, okay, maybe I can get rid of going to the gym, or maybe I can, you know, shop for groceries differently, and I can come up with that money. So that goes to my mind as well, you know, oh, I hope this person's overstretching themselves. But I have to have, I also don't want to look at people and think of them necessarily as not in control of their own destiny and having their own agency. So I had your same concerns, but I felt that Lakeisha and her father know their finances better than I do. And they said it's going to be a stretch, but they said they can do it. And so that's, I want to take them at their word. Because that's what they said. I can only go off by what they say. So I hear your concern, but that's why I think going with their number is sound. And I also have the concerns of the property owner in my mind as well, because I want to make a decision here in which folks, you know, people leave maybe a little bit unhappy, but don't think the process is worthless. You know, if everyone leaves a little unhappy, that means they probably didn't get 100% what they were looking for, and maybe we did our job. But just to your point, I think that that's where I came up, why I'm comfortable with the number that Lakeisha came up with, because I have to have faith that she knows her finances better than I do.
Do you want to respond?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. So I guess, first of all, I want to recognize again the tremendous benefit that was conferred way back 2 years ago when Kim was not able to work. And Harry and Charles gave an apartment at $900 knowing that they could have gotten more than that. So I think that's just important up front that I want to recognize that. Taking what Mr. Cornelius said, that he also understood that it was under market and that they did, but he was proposing this kind of step, at least initially, before they were talking about the $250 rent increase, I think is what they had offered. At least gives people the opportunity to adjust a little bit. A 60-day notice obviously isn't near enough time to be able to prepare, make changes to your finances and expenses and everything else to go along with it. And I have to say I'm kind of leaning a little bit towards Chris's analysis, knowing that it was going to be a severe stretch and that her father was actually going to have to help her in order to be able to do that. At the same time, when we talk about, I want to acknowledge that there was a benefit that you recognized in giving that lower rent, even at the rent that you're offering now with the $450 rent increase, and acknowledging that that's a big sacrifice because it's way below market. But in conferring that, I also, you have to figure the person who's receiving it and the position that they are in, so that if they can't afford the $450, even though it's a huge drop from what you were really getting, it isn't the same kind of recognition and benefit. So that's kind of where I am. And I kind of like this, you know, I don't like the concept of stepping, but I know before I was on the board, Chris, you had offered steps in order for a person to kind of make plans to absorb. So I'm just talking out loud about maybe the 180 rent increase to begin with, and then at some point in the future, but before the year, it picks up the other amount and gives Keisha primarily the time to make some changes and maybe do this on her own without her father's help. So that's kind of where I am. Just, I'm not so in bedrock over it.
I do want to point out that if we that given that there's been a $900 rent charged versus, say, $1,300, which was a reasonable rent to be paid as of the time that the lease was signed in 2015, that's about $9,600 under market. Mm-hmm. And so Harry has already gifted, in essence, $9,600, which is a substantial sum. And I think that needs to be acknowledged here. And, you know, it's, we're asking a property owner to forego income that, you know, it may not mean that they're having to change their lifestyle, but it's a significant amount for a business to lose or to not get that kind of revenue that you could get. And yeah, I just think that that needs to be acknowledged here, that both sides are in essence giving something up here, and that with an 1150 rent, that's still considerably below market. And in addition to the 9,600 that Harry has already you know, gifted, in essence, that there will be continuing over the next years, because of the fact that rent control is in place, a substantial subsidy, in essence, of Keisha's tenancy at the apartment. So that there's going to be a subsidy going forward, in essence, if you compare it to what that apartment could newly be rented for. And I think that needs to be taken into consideration as well. And I agree with Brennan that if Keisha and her father, you know, feel that they can handle $1,150, that's a reasonable offer to accept.
I like the step increase too, when folks are up here and they seem to entertain it. But you know, Keisha and her dad went outside and talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back with a plan. And I don't think it's really our place to engage in some kind of financial or social engineering where we decide that we have a better plan for them. Because it's possible that it's going to be a stretch for them or too much, but that could be with anybody that walks out that door after we do our best here.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And
understood.
I just think it gets kind of sticky once you start making decisions in a paternalistic manner up here, for, you know, beyond what folks share. It's all we have is the information that the landlords and the tenants share with us, and that can be hard sometimes, and I have to go against myself when I make decisions about what I think is quote-unquote best, but I have to give people their agency, I think. So I wouldn't be comfortable breaking up into a stepped increase, because that's, again, it's another, I don't want to say subsidy, you know, both Lakeisha and her mom paid for that apartment. I don't know if it had a serious financial impact on the landlord or not, but it's less than what the tenants are asking for, so I wouldn't feel comfortable breaking it up into steps.
Okay. Chris, any more comments?
I'm thinking.
Okay.
So my issue, going back to the 1150 offer, isn't necessarily that's what they came in with when they first sat down and said, this is the floor we have. That was an extreme stretch by the sounds of it. It wasn't something, you know, I think we had this conversation at our special meeting or something where, you know, we generally use like the floors they come in with as like guardrails. 1150 wasn't the price they came in with. That was the price they stretched to at most to try to come to a middle ground with the landlord. And it wasn't even something that Keisha could do on her own. She needed her father's assistance. So that to me says it's not an affordable rent for them. And you know, if something were to happen, we wouldn't, you know, be helping keep Alamedans in their home while also respecting the landlord's needs. We're at a point where, you know, one, by the sounds of it, again, I'm making an assumption, but we're at the point where one unforeseen incident happens and then she's no longer able to live there. And I get that from
she moved way up from what the original offer was to try to make middle ground. And I feel like she made a lot more movement than the landlord made on their part. And I do appreciate that they had that special arrangement for $900 for her mother. But we've also seen in the past where landlords came in and they had an increased rent in 10, 15 years. And, you know, we basically treated it the same way where, you know, we said, you know, that was your fault not being the right term, but that was on them for not deciding to increase rent over, you know, however many years. And I feel like this is the same situation, that the $900 was willingly given by the landlord. They weren't forced to do so. So.
Yeah, I would disagree that it's the same kind of situation, because I think that the rent here was given in very specific consideration of a specific situation for Kim, and that no agreement was reached directly with Keisha, and I think assumptions were made on both sides. And I yeah. think that, as Brennan acknowledged earlier, you know, it's unfortunate that conversations did not take place earlier about what it might mean when Kim passed for Keisha to continue the residency and what expectations the landlord had. I certainly think in that situation there's a bit more responsibility on the part of the landlord to initiate that conversation, both because of the loss being experienced by the tenant and understanding that human situation that people aren't necessarily thinking about talking about rental leases.
Absolutely.
You know, but in addition, it's the landlord's responsibility to, you know, take on initiating conversations about where they, what they feel needs to happen with rent in order to create a reasonable situation. But I don't think it's the same situation as you've described with landlords who are being laissez-faire and who are simply not being actively managing their property. I think this is a very different situation.
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, you know, sounds like Kim got sick.
I'm sorry,
it sounds like Kim got sick and she was unable to work. I had worked for Harry for, you know, a long time. I heard 20 years. I don't know if it's that long, but a long time. So Harry made a consideration because he cared about her. She stayed at the place. And no one had a conversation. Hey, Kim, what's going to happen to your daughter if you don't make it? You know, that's a reasonable thing to not talk about, right?
Should they absolutely
have,
yes.
Should they have? Maybe. I should have done lots of things, but I didn't do anything.
Well, also, it sounds like it wasn't obvious that Kim was going to pass what she did.
Sure.
It sounds like it was somewhat unexpected.
And so I'm also of the opinion that, you know, landlords are running a business, right? That's what folks always say when they come in here. You know, this is my livelihood, I'm running a business. But then it's like, okay, well then why are you, what happened to those past years that you want us to help you recoup, right? I mean, you should have helped somebody out. So I definitely hear that, Chris, I do. And, but you could be right that something could happen in Keisha's life or Mr. Cornelius's life and they wouldn't be able to stay in the property. But you know, if we use that judgment, that could be any tenant that comes in here. This one might be maybe more obvious, or because the numbers are so large and Mr. Cornelius shared that he's taking a burden off of Keisha, who is in fact the tenant, who is the one who lives here in Alameda. So I recognize that, you know, because she's the one who's working, if she even gets 40 hours a week at a job like hers, because I worked in those jobs too, so it's not like you're necessarily getting your 40 hours a week. So I hear that. I'm just not comfortable anticipating somebody else's needs or wants or future without information to have to make that anticipation.
So to kind of counter to that, currently it sounds like $1,150 is unaffordable. She needs outside assistance to afford $1,150.
Right.
So it's not necessarily that $1,150 is affordable by her. She said $1,150 is not affordable. She cannot afford $1,150. That's what it sounded like to me. The only way to achieve $1,150 was from outside help. So $1,150 is not a reasonable rent for the tenant at this point.
Yeah, I think, I hear that. And Yeah, you're right. I hear that. I acknowledge that. I also think that she came up with here with her father. They seem to be discussing it as a family unit, and family's great, but families find a way. And I'm not saying it's ideal. I'm not saying that this is necessarily a good situation for her. I just think it's what they offered and what's on the table and what I have to work with. Otherwise, if we take your father out of the equation, how much is the car note that he's taking over? What then? Don't I have a responsibility to ask about what the other bills are?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
so I have.
I would just say, in addition, that it's not uncommon for a young person starting out to require the financial assistance of parents to help them live on their own and start off in the world. I certainly had some financial assistance from my parents when I was starting off in the world. You know, so to,
right.
I don't think that's an unreasonable situation.
Yeah.
It's not uncommon to encounter.
So I'm not necessarily uncomfortable with the 1150. I think what I keep going back to is that there was a time after Kim wasn't around and there was an opportunity to step this. In other words, all the things that were in out of everybody's control back in August 1 of 2015 was not there when the lease came available again, where that distraction wasn't there and there would have been a possibility to do an intermediate increase before you get to the next one. I mean, there's no doubt that the rent increase is reasonable. I mean, in looking what the market is and everything else, I can't qualm with that. For me, it's just the structure that I'm looking at.
Yeah, I think you have to keep in mind that it was a month-to-month lease. It wasn't an annual lease, so there was no natural time for a conversation necessarily to come up. And also, there was a whole discussion and political debate about rent control going on and a lot of political uncertainty around it all. And you know, I think we need to keep that in mind. It's not as if 2015 and 2016 were some neutral time when a landlord would just say, "Oh yeah, great, let's go do this."
Yeah. Well, they tend to be anniversary dates, though. I think in the industry, they still look at anniversary dates, even if it is month to month and it goes 20 years. It's we started on this date, and every year it's just the review. So, because that's the concern I'm expressing is the step nature of it, which is why I suggested that we do it all in 6 months instead of 2 years.
I'm sorry, say again.
So the reason why I suggested the step is because I don't think the offer that they have given, the $1,150, is unreasonable, and I think, yeah, it's probably a stretch, and we can't always count on that. But it's coming all at once, and there was an opportunity a year in the past when the reason why the rent was so low was gone. And then there was enough time, I think, to pass for people to be able to get move beyond it. I think that's when you don't think you get over that, but you move beyond it. And so there would have been an opportunity for the family to take a bite, and then we come back in here with another one. So that's what my concern is. I don't think the amount, I'm not as concerned about the amount.
Okay.
It's just how we implement it.
I mean, I guess now that I think back on it, the landlord, in their original documentation that we received last week, said, well, in fact, it's in here now, that they were open to a stepped increase. So obviously that was with a different amount.
Right.
So you had three increases for a larger amount.
I think what we have to keep in mind is that the $1,150 represents a big compromise on the landlord's part. And, you know, it's quite a bit less than they had been asking for because they had been asking for $1,350. So when you step in $1,150, which is already quite a bit lower, you're, you know, in essence, lowering the amount of the increased income that the landlord is getting over the course of this lease.
I forget, what was the tenant's original offer?
I didn't think they made a specific one, but they both said that they thought 5 to 10%. I heard them in the beginning say that somewhere between 5% to 10%
was
what they were thinking.
Right.
About. So, I mean,
yeah.
I also want to make clear, like, I think that the 50% rate increase is unreasonable. That was an unreasonable ask.
Yeah.
So I'm not starting from zero for either
right.
or the
yes,
manager.
I understand.
So, I recognize that this is a huge percentage increase of someone's take-home pay, and she's already paying 50%. So this is, at the very least, probably going to be close to that. But she didn't have her father help before, and now she does. Because that's what families do.
Yeah, and also to say the landlord made a huge jump, but they only went down $100, but the tenant offered $160. I feel like the tenant made, assuming, you know, 10% was their max to begin with, the tenant has clearly made a lot more effort to go up than the landlord made to go down.
Yeah, but what I would counter with that is that the landlord was offering to take the rent to a level that's still significantly below market. So from the perspective of a property owner running a business, they're already agreeing to take it to a rent with their request, which I agree, I think 50% is too much. So I just want to be clear about that. But even with that 50% amount, it's still significantly below market. So with the information they gave us about current within pricing, even the 50% increase would have taken the rent to $1,350. And I think that we're all agreed that's not going to be the rent that is
right.
going to be in the lease.
Mm-hmm.
The current move-ins are at $1,750 and $1,895. And so even a rent at $1,350 is considerably lower. So when you say that the tenant is coming up, I don't think that's really an accurate description, because the tenant's coming up from 900, whereas the landlord has already started at a top number in the landlord's mind that is, you know, at minimum $400 beneath what that landlord could get for that apartment were it to be offered on the open market at this time.
I would also like to point out that I don't think at any point the landlord said it was a financial burden for them. I could be wrong, but... I mean,
no, in fact, he said it was immaterial.
But I also think that the statute does not require that it be a financial burden on the landlord in order for the landlord to want to get a reasonable return on their investment.
So what are you qualifying as a reasonable return on their investment?
I'm suggesting that increasing the rent to, beyond $900, which is clearly quite a bit lower than what would the apartment could be rented for on the market, is an effort for them to get a more reasonable return on their investment relative to what they could, relative to what the rent is now and what they could be getting on the market if they chose to rent the market to a new tenant.
So if I can make a comment to the point, one of the things we are allowed to do is take into account the impact of whatever the increase is on the resident, right? That's clearly in the statute. And the initial base rent that we're talking about, as unreasonable as it was at the time, was still an agreed to amount that everybody was willing to live with. So the fact that it started at 900 was a choice, and the burden that gets placed on the resident, from a resident's perspective, I understand the housing provider's side. When you talk about coming down and coming up, the relative burdens between the two, though, are significantly different. And that's the loosey-goosey explanation I have for it, right?
So could I ask, I didn't hear you say what you thought the step increase should be, or what you were thinking it should be.
$1,080 to $1,150.
Well, what's the time frame?
6 months.
So the tenant would pay the first half of the $250 immediately, September 1st.
Now.
And then after 6 months would pay the rest of it.
The remainder of it. Yes, I didn't throw numbers out specifically, but that's the ballpark I would be thinking about.
So I'm sorry, repeat that again.
Initial rent increase of
$180,
which would take it to $1,080, and then in 6 months it would go up to the $1,150, which is a 70. We need to stop for a minute, and I need a motion to extend.
How long?
15 minutes.
My name is Brendan Sullivan Sarignana. I make a motion to extend for 15 minutes.
My name is Sarah Murray. I second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
It's unanimous. We'll extend for 15 minutes. Okay, so those are the ballpark numbers. If somebody has a different set of numbers, I'm happy to entertain that as well. And if you don't, even just if we don't agree conceptually, then we should just go to a vote on a number. If somebody thinks about the step, then we can continue the discussion.
I'd like to hear what Sarah has to say.
I mean, I understand the challenge and the difficulty here, and I think, as I said before, that our task is to seek to make decisions that are in the best interests of the community and to help both landlords and tenants achieve just and fair outcomes. I think the challenge is that there's an inherent belief that a landlord who has more than a tenant is not sacrificing when they when they choose to charge a below market rent or when they choose to be generous to a tenant. And I mean, my concern with this kind of situation is that it disincentivizes landlords to be generous to people who need assistance. You know, it disincentivizes them to do something like have a worker who's worked for them for many years and say, yes, I'm going to rent you an apartment at below market rates. And it creates incentives to, to not engage in those kinds of relationships because they're going to be penalized for it down the line. And the flip side of it is, I also agree, with what you had to say, Brendan, about people's agency, and I respect the fact that Keisha and her dad had a conversation, and I believe that the offer that they were making was partly in recognition of the generosity that Harry has extended in the past, and they, I agree with you, they know their finances better than we do, and I feel that it's reasonable to respect their offer and their decision.
Okay. Any other comments?
I think I made my point clear.
No.
All right. Do I hear a motion?
I motion for a, $180 increase for the first 6 months, followed by an additional $70 increase to bring the total up to $1,150.
I will second that motion, and we will vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Aye.
Nay. Opposed. Okay. So we have a tie. Right? So that's not going to work. Can we have the motion from the...
Sure.
The counter motion. The second motion.
Sure.
No, the other alternative.
I'm Brendan Sullivan Zaniana. I make a motion for a rent increase to start on September 1st, 2017 for the amount proposed by the tenant, $1,150.
I second the motion. Sarah Murray.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Let the record reflect the vote, and we are concluded with this item. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Moving quickly, item 7F, discussion involving any considerations raised during the events of previous meetings to improve the committee's review process. Basically, this was a debrief of any of the cases that we had before. Does anybody have any they would like to bring up from before? No. So I do have a short one. I know I want to be respectful of time. It just happened to be the one where it was the housing provider that had the single family home.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
In essence, we learned that there were many, many people living in the house, more than there probably should have been living in the house at that time.
Which case was this?
Three months ago.
Yeah, I don't know if we should identify the case.
We can identify the case, but I don't know the case number.
I don't know the case number. It was where the gentleman, the landlord, was upset because the grill was on the front porch.
And there was a part. And there was a car. Yeah.
Oh, with his daughter? You missed it?
Oh, maybe. Okay. Well, and the significant point that I wanted to bring up in that was that we had a discussion and talked about a rent increase based on more people living in the house and therefore more maintenance. And I voted for that decision and went along, and it just was something that was bothering to me, and it took me a while to figure out why it bothered me, is that in essence what we did was we gave a rent increase as a kind of a remedy when there was a lease remedy where they could have said, you've got too many people in the house, give you a notice and remove that and then do whatever the rent increase should have been. Because I think we gave a 12, it was a relatively significant rent increase, yeah, which now builds year after year. And I sure couldn't articulate why I felt the way I did. It was the kind of gut feel that, gee, did we do that? And so that was just the point I wanted to bring up. Sarah, you weren't there. Chris, you weren't there.
I was there.
But you were there, and if there's anything you'd like to reflect on the record.
Yeah, actually there was something, and I might have already expressed this, but I, as one does, you think about the case afterwards, and I think I made an error in the observation in that case, is that the landlord was expressing their displeasure, the amount of people that lived in the house. And that was the largest basis, at least I felt, for me voting for that rent increase, because the lease said you should have X number of people, but there had been more than double that actually living in the house. However, those people moved into the house within the first few months of the original lease being signed. And it just further reinforced that I need to pay attention to timelines when we're talking about this, and not pay attention to what's really bothering folks, because they'll verbalize that and express that. But then also make sure that you repeat the timelines to them, because as we've seen, sometimes people's views and the things that are bothering them don't fit a timeline that you would see if it wasn't them, if they were outside looking in. So if I could have done that over again, I'm not saying I would have necessarily voted differently, but I would have said to the landlord, I see that the folks that you have had concerns about living in the house moved in shortly after the first lease was signed, and that was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't you address it, or could you explain why you didn't address that, you know, in the other two leases that have been subsequently signed?
Yes.
Because I think there were things going on besides just the amount of people. It was, they weren't taking care of the lawn like I wanted. There was cars there. There was other things. So maybe we could have fleshed that out a little bit more, and maybe given the tenant a chance to respond, because they also didn't say, all we really asked them was, there's a lot of other people living there, right? And they said, yeah, but we didn't really say, but they moved in right after you signed the lease. So if the landlord wanted to address this, they had two opportunities to do so.
Exactly.
So that was that was in my mind. It's not exactly related to what you were, but that was something I thought that I could have done a better job on, is reiterating the timelines that this was all happening, and maybe that would have...
It would have helped.
It would have helped.
In other words, it was instinct, though. There was something, you didn't know what it was, and that's part of the challenge I think we all face when we're here, is that, you know, and I'm the one who's like to try and articulate the reason why I'm saying and doing what it is I'm saying, and some foundation, so when somebody's sitting out there, it isn't just a number came out of here for no reason, right? That's it. So anyway, that was all I wanted to say about that. I think the briefing thing will be good as we get more challenging decisions. And with that, is there any public comment, non-agenda number two?
No.
Number nine, any matters initiated?
I have a question. Is everyone's email that was sent to us for the city now functioning properly?
Yes.
Okay. So I would request that if anyone has anything to ask me about for the RAC or anything like that, please send it to that email. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Then it is 8:40, and we are adjourned for this meeting. Thank you, everybody.
Did you ask for public comments?
Yes, we did.
We did.
Yeah.